Welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, we'll be joined by the voice of the Sioux Falls Skyforce, Dan Peters, to discuss the newest project players for the Heat and expectations for Miami's two-way players.
And it's Friday, so we'll look ahead to next week's slate of games and guess the Heat's record. Thank you so much for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Heat and the NBA for FanSided.
And I'm David Rommel, a credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and FanSided.
We're playing our new weekly game that we do every Friday called Guess the Record, where David and I try to guess Miami's record for the next week. Also later on, we'll be joined by Dan Peters, voice of the Miami's G League affiliate, the Sioux Falls Skyforce. Many of you have asked questions about the Skyforce, which has been a legitimate developmental tool for the Heat. So we'll have people from the Sioux Falls Skyforce on the show periodically throughout the season to talk about the team and who the Heat could be tapping as their next project. So we're really excited to be able to provide you that deep dive, that kind of thing that you're just accustomed to getting from us, because that's what we do here on The Daily Show. But let's get to Guess the Record. And last week, David, I totally beat you. You guessed that the Heat would go, they would sweep the three games of the week. They would go 3-0. I accurately and astutely projected that they would go 1-2, and that's exactly what happened.
You know, the one game they won, that wasn't the game that you predicted. So I feel pretty confident. You did not know that they were going to beat the Portland Trailblazers, which looked like a pretty good team, despite the fact that they didn't go through much change over the course of the offseason. So I feel like kind of a moral victory in that, but at the same time, yeah, you totally kicked my butt.
So let's do it again, because I like this game. So out of all those games, I think the most disappointing one from last week was the Sacramento Kings game, but even then, I don't know. I really don't know what to make of Sacramento. It does feel like the bottom is going to fall out of that thing eventually, but De'Aaron Fox carved up Miami. Kemba Walker basically did the same thing. Damian Lillard did the same thing, even though the Heat ended up winning that game. To me, the takeaway from the week was that Miami has a hard time with those really fast, slashing point guards, who are also good decision makers. And De'Aaron Fox made really good decisions in that game, too, and it's worth pointing out. So when I'm looking ahead to this next slate of games, Saturday at Atlanta, Monday at Detroit, Wednesday versus San Antonio, Friday versus Indiana, they don't have that kind of player. Atlanta obviously wants to have that player in Trae Young, but he's a rookie, so I'm not ready to put him on that pedestal. Detroit, Reggie Jackson's been shooting well for them, but he's not up to the Damian Lillard, Kemba Walker standards. The Spurs are basically, they're paying Patty Mills a point guard because all their other point guards are injured.
Bryn Forbes and the Pacers, is a starter, isn't he?
Oh, Bryn Forbes, you're right. Who's, he's a
okay.
player
he's,
in the NBA.
He is Bryn Forbes.
And then Indiana, I mean, they're mostly led by Victor Oladipo, but he plays off the ball a whole lot. I'm not really worried about the point guard situation there. But let's look at Saturday at Atlanta. That's the next game. What do you have?
You know, Atlanta, I think they're currently 2-6 at the time they're recording this, and some have theorized that they're still in tank mode, as they will be throughout the course of this season and probably up into next as well. But they still gave Miami fits last year, even though they were theoretically tanking for the opportunity to draft Trae Young. So I'm not sure what to make of it. My gut tells me that Miami can't pull out a win there, even though it's at Atlanta. That's still a place where Miami has historically been able to pull out a victory from. It's not like they have much of a home court advantage or anything like that. But given the matchups, given the fact that Taurean Prince always seems to bring his game up and he's already playing at a pretty high level, I'm curious to see, if they can get any kind of contribution out of the center position. I know they've had some injuries there. Dwayne Dedman, is he the kind of guy that can impact what Hassan Whiteside does? I don't think so. So I still give Miami the edge, though, even though I think, Atlanta has and will play as difficult, to some difficulty on Saturday. I still think Miami can find a way to pull ahead.
I hear what you're saying about Atlanta not having a home court advantage, but you can get a haircut while you're watching a Hawks game. I don't know if that counts for anything in the win column.
It doesn't.
But that's a pretty cool thing.
Okay.
After coming off of a disappointing week for Miami, Atlanta, they are tanking. They're actively trying to lose games this year. Maybe not actively, but that whole, you look at that roster, they're trying to lose games this year. after a disappointing week, I think Miami gets it started the right way Saturday night. They beat Atlanta, and I don't really think it's going to be a close game. I think Miami's going to come out swinging.
It'd be nice.
Monday at Detroit.
That's an interesting
Monday game. At Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Detroit's playing at a pretty high level now. What's their record? 5-4-3 at the time of recording this. They've gotten some solid contributions from Blake Griffin. He's not a guy that's burned Miami much in the past. Reggie Jackson, as you said, isn't the kind of slice and dice point guard that Kemba Walker or De'Aaron Fox is. So I'm not too concerned about that. But the Andre Drummond matchup, you know, Whiteside and him have had some tension in the past. I could see that being an issue as well.
They got beef.
Yeah, I'm tempted to give Detroit the nod on this one, to be honest with you. I think they'll be a little cocky, and unfortunately, look, the issue is with Miami, and I was a little high on them last week for reasons that I can't remember right now, but I was sorely disappointed, so I'm going to start swinging low at this point on Miami, because I just don't think that they'll be able to come up with anything. Either a trade goes through or it doesn't, but at this point, I'm not sure what to expect of them on a nightly basis, but against a team like Detroit, at Detroit, I think they'll lose it.
This is right in the middle of kind of a two road games for Detroit, a day removed in between that Heat game. So 2 days before they host Miami, I think they're in San Antonio, or I might be wrong on that, but they are away, and then they have to get back on the road and go to Orlando.
Yeah.
You know what? It might be the Philadelphia 76ers that they're at before. You could check it by yourself. But it's a big game 2 days before, and then they have to hit the road again to get to Orlando. So this might be a trap game for them if they're kind of looking ahead to that next game.
Good point.
And kind of coming off of that challenging game 2 days before. I think Miami gets the win here. I am really worried about Blake Griffin. He is playing at an MVP level. He's regressed a little bit since the first week of the season.
Can I add a caveat to that? If Miami gets James Johnson back, I think they'll pull out.
It doesn't sound like they are, though.
We
don't even have a timetable on James Johnson, but I agree with you 100%. If James Johnson's in that game, it changes it.
Yes.
But Kelly Olynyk, I don't think, can defend Blake Griffin.
He cannot.
Whiteside is going to get torched by Blake Griffin. Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin are spending a lot of time on the perimeter for Detroit so far this season. I think that's really going to hurt Miami. So I actually, you know what? I thought that I originally had a W down here for the Heat. I'm gonna put it as an L. I think Miami loses this game, too.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Wednesday versus the Spurs. So Miami gets a couple days after two games on the road, Atlanta and Detroit. They go back home, get a day's rest, play the Spurs on Wednesday night. I've got this as a loss, David. That mid-range game that San Antonio's leaning into with DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge, those are the exact kind of shots that Miami just provides other teams. They play that drop-down conservative style of defense, and that plays basically right into what DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge want to do. And it's a regular season game in the first month, or second month of the season, I guess. I don't see Spoelstra tinkering with his defense a whole lot within this next week, even though there's arguments that say he probably should. But the Spurs are going to have the rest advantage. They're going to have that mid-range game to lean in on, and they're a darn good team this season to boot. So I've got that as a loss for Miami.
I'm going to go around and flip the script. I'm going to say that Miami's going to find a way to limit DeRozan as they have in the past. I'm not too worried about DeRozan going off for a big game. I think he'll have his hands full with Josh Richardson and vice versa, or Rodney Magruder, or somebody, whoever logs on to him and tries to do the best they can to limit those mid-range shots. I think as far as Aldridge is concerned, I think Olynyk can impact those shots with his length. And I know that Bam Adebayo, when he gets those minutes, did have some success against Aldridge last year, and I'd like to see him duplicate that as well. So without the point guard, they're not – okay, Miami hasn't been beaten otherwise than through the mid-range – not the mid-range game, but I'm sorry, the transition offense that so many teams have been able to find a way to exploit them with. I don't think San Antonio can duplicate that same impact, and so I think Miami at home will find a way to shut down San Antonio. So I'm giving them
I think DeMar DeRozan goes for 40. Friday versus Indiana to round out the week. Pacers, they're a good team this year again, and they're being slept on. They have the third best point differential in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference. They have the sixth best net rating in the NBA. They're second in the league in percentage of their points that come off of turnovers, which has been an Achilles heel for Miami this season. So I just see a lot of Victor Oladipo steals leading to transition buckets in Miami's future. I've got this as an L for Miami. I have them losing this game. I think just the Pacers are a far more superior team. The one thing that could be their saving grace, the Heat's saving grace, the Pacers are last in pace. And so I think that that could play into Miami's favor, where they're actually, I think, 16th in the pace at the time as we're recording this right now. They're 16th. So maybe Miami is able to, you know, they're not bitten by that fast-paced game. They're able to sort of control the tempo a little bit more, which could help them. But eventually, I think the Pacers are just too good, too talented, and I have them losing this game.
No, I said I was going to swing low, and apparently I'm still swinging higher than you are because I'm giving Miami a win here. I think the South Beach factor is going to be an issue. I think they're a young team. They can still be a little disoriented and not necessarily take advantage of the situation there. I'm not too worried about Darren Collison. I know that that could hurt me at some point in the future, but for now I'm not worried about his scoring. And Oladipo, I know he's had big games in the past, not necessarily against Miami, and I think seeing Dwayne Wade on the other side there, a guy he looked up to so actively, who was coached by Tom Crean as well, I don't think he's going to go off for like a 30-point night or be able to kill us the way he has so many other teams in the NBA. Other than that, I'm not sure that there's any other legitimate threat to him. Miles Turner hasn't really burned Miami too much in the past. Thad Young could have a big game, the random scrub heat killer perhaps. But
DeMontis Sabonis looks good lately.
He's
playing better than anybody in that Miami Heat front court right now. I mean, he just is.
That's going to be a challenge for Olynyk, and I'm wondering whether or not we'll see some Bam Adebayo on Sabonis. That could be an interesting matchup there.
You can see a lot of Bam in those last three games: Detroit, San Antonio, Indiana. Bam is probably the better matchup in all three of those games.
He is, which is an interesting thing. Well, he's not getting as many minutes as we thought, or rather, we thought he wouldn't be getting too many minutes, and that's proven to be the case. But I'm still going to go ahead and give them a win. So I'm going 3-1 over the course of the week. You're going 2-2. Let's see what happens.
Yep. You did swing low. I mean, last week you predicted an undefeated week. So, I mean, hey, you're getting down there. I'm still 2-2. I originally had him at 1-3. I have him at 1-3. I do have him at 1-3.
Sorry, you're right. I can't add there. My mistake.
No, I mean, because I originally had a W down for Detroit. I still think that that's going to be a close game. And just the Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond thing scares me. And then I think the rest of the roster basically plays itself to a tie. Yeah, I've got them at 1-3, and you've got them at 3-1. So we've got inverted weeks coming up.
I hope I'm right.
Well, right now I'm winning the season so far 1-0. I won last week, and so we'll see what happens this week. But right now I'm 1-0, so I feel good about that. Even though I shouldn't, because I mean I won by the Heat losing a bunch of games. So I don't know. I'm conflicted. The Sioux Falls Skyforce tip off their season tonight against the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. Will be joined by Dan Peters, the voice of the Heat's G League affiliate, the Sioux Falls Skyforce, who does play-by-play for the team's live streams and radio broadcasts. We'll talk to him about his impressions of the roster, who could be the next Rodney Magruder or Hassan Whiteside, and what to expect from the Skyforce this season. That's coming up next. But first, we've created a new Twitter account called Locked On NBA Net. It's one Twitter feed with all of the Locked On local experts providing everything that you need to know from around the NBA. Every team covered, every local angle uncovered, and be sure also to follow Locked On NBA Net on Instagram. I'm joined now by the voice of the Skyforce, Dan Peters. Dan, thanks for jumping on the show. Before we get to some of the basketball stuff that I want to talk to you about, a lot of our listeners probably have never been to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So can you tell us what that area is like? I've heard a lot of players who have spent time there talk about how good the food is. Is that true?
There is a lot of good food. Although I think when it comes to chain restaurants, the city is really into having those national chains. So there is familiarity with that. But as far as other things, when it comes to food, there are, those little known places where everybody says, okay, this, if you go to Sioux Falls, you got to go to this place. And so there's an enchilada place. Mm-hmm. There's places where we're nationally known in one for one flavor of ice cream or malt that's served in one place.
Interesting. And what else? So what else is there? What do the players do when they're not playing basketball, when they're not practicing with Sioux Falls? I'm sure very much if the Skyforce being part of the Heat organization, I'm sure there's a ton of practicing and stuff like that going on, team events going on. Can you tell us what the life is in Sioux Falls is like?
I can't say with absolute certainty if there are some things in the nightlife that's involved. And I think there's opportunity For some, if they want to practice some religious activities, that is also available. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of bonding that goes on with the guys, and actually what they will do is they will go out into the community and serve some organizations, charitable organizations, serve food at places, you know, where homeless people will handle. So there's not just the practice mm-hmm. aspect. They'll visit schools and they do a lot of different outreach opportunities. They'll do clinics as well.
Well, the Heat have embraced its G League partnership, perhaps more than any other NBA franchise. I mean, seven players on the Heat's roster have spent time in Sioux Falls: Rodney Magruder, Tyler Johnson, Hassan Whiteside, Duncan Robinson, Yante Maitin, and I'm forgetting a couple others, but you're there, you're seeing it in person. And you've been around the other teams, too, that Sioux Falls is playing. What is it that makes that Heat and Skyforce partnership such a successful program for developing players?
I think you have a very similar philosophical structure between the two organizations. The Arison family has run the Heat ever since its inception. And it's the Heineman family with the Skyforce that they did not found the organization, but one of the people who owns it now, I think, was part of the initial group that helped bring the organization to Sioux Falls. And let me give you kind of a correlation, give you the Heat and the Knicks, of which David Fizdale is now coach. How many people on the staff of the Heat have been at least a decade with the Heat or were within the battles of those Knicks-Heat rivalries back in the late 90s? How many people with the Knicks are still with the Knicks that were part of that? And how many people with the Heat? I guess you could do the research and you'd probably see that balance tilted on the side of the Heat. And I think you also have to look at community support. Sioux Falls Skyforce, 30 years of being here in Sioux Falls, it was the first real professional league to come into town. And that was with the Continental Basketball Association in 1989 when it started. So you have a rallying point for the community. And then I think what the Heat really like about the way the Skyforce and their philosophy of making sure players are well taken care of nutritionally with their training, their health, there is a health system partner that has really put a lot of emphasis on having the ability for the players to do weight training, or if they need to do rehabilitation, they have physicians available from one particular entity. There's two local health entities in Sioux Falls, but the one that's partnered with the Skyforce is the Sanford Health Group, and they have really put a lot of emphasis on making sure these players are not just taken care of in the basketball sort and being able to develop their skills. They develop themselves in their health as well.
It you look at these NBA and these G League partnerships too, and a lot of them, I mean, you mentioned the Knicks, right? Their G League affiliate is right there in Westchester. You know, it's Miami is all the way down in the, everybody knows where Miami is, and then you've got their affiliate in South Dakota. I mean, there's not a whole lot of teams. That's probably the largest distance. You probably know, but that's probably the largest distance between affiliates.
Yes, that is a fact.
Yeah.
There would be a bit of distance for the Erie team and what they were doing with the Atlanta Hawks. They did that with Orlando, and will soon be doing that with New Orleans. So those kinds of dynamics do play into it. And there's not really a lot of direct flights between Miami and Sioux Falls. But also, being in the middle of the country, that does, you know, the Heat will have to play all over the nation. And having maybe Sioux Falls as that middle portion of the country, it does lend some credibility to having, you know, somewhere, okay, you're in Sioux Falls, but it's a short flight to Minneapolis or a short flight to Denver, and then you can get to where you go.
We're here with Dan Peters, voice of the Sioux Falls Skyforce, and we'll be back after this quick break. Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, because the Heat, and I've mentioned this before on the show, but the Heat they will be traveling the most miles in the air this season of any NBA team. So that I hadn't thought about that, but that's a really good point. And look, I mean, having that kind of distance between teams, but you're talking about how you know, the community outreach, the organizational principles, the foundation of training and diet and getting players in shape and conditioning and all of these things that Heat fans know and appreciate about the team in Miami, it just kind of, it reflects the organizational structure and sort of integrity of the entire franchise when we talk about both of these teams, where you can have that transition from Miami to Sioux Falls, right? I mean, that's got to be really hard, and just as far as a communication and a messaging and just keeping everybody on the same page, but they, give them credit, they do it. I want to switch gears to some of the players here, because there's a lot of players that Heat fans are already familiar with, and one of them is Briante Weber. And I had a chance to see him in person a few times, most notably for me at Orlando Summer League. I think that was 3 years ago when he first sort of came onto the scene for them. Loved his defensive tenacity then. That's carried over throughout his career, but he's also developed in a lot of ways. You've seen him up close and in person. How has he developed since first arriving in Sioux Falls? And then second part of that question, where has he focused on improving going into this season?
When he first came to Sioux Falls, he had gotten through his career at Virginia Commonwealth and was almost the NCAA steals career leader before blowing out his knee. Mm. And physically, he was not ready, but we had heard rumblings that, you know, this guy's the real deal, you know, once he gets back started. And immediately, the impact and his mind defensively and the physical tools that he had, his commitment to playing in a defense, that has certainly carried over and has never wavered. His ability, I think, where he really has developed is his shot-making ability. His offensive creativity has improved over the years. I think for him to get a really hard look in the NBA is that when he is on the dribble and he is going somewhere with the basketball, he needs to have two or three good options when he's got the ball, or if he gets into trouble, he needs to get to the place where there's two or three good options. And I think those are the crucial things that he needs to do to be able to work his way into the next level.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because, you know, when we talk about Briante, when you talk about any prospect at this point who's a defensive first, below average to average perimeter shooter, we talk about, oh, well, you know, Heat fans see this with Justice Winslow all the time. Well, he needs to improve his jumper. Well, there's a whole lot of other things that they could do to contribute. And I think you're spot on with Briante. I think he's at, like, the decision-making part of running that point guard position is such an important, crucial part of that, of playing that position and having that job to lead an offense. And I think you're exactly right. Having those options, being able to kind of be a step ahead of the defense is going to be huge for him. And, you know, you can only really do that with more and more practice. So and he'll get that this year with Sioux Falls. Miami's two-way players joined the team in time for the team opener Friday night against Fort Wayne. So what are your first impressions so far from Duncan Robinson and Yante Mayton? I'm a huge Duncan Robinson fan.
And actually, he has probably been the most forthcoming of any of the players that I talked to during media day. And he is, and if you step aside from the basketball stuff a little bit, he was the first one to say, you know what, I'm from the Northeast. I've never been to South Dakota. So what is it like? And he genuinely wanted to know what Sioux Falls and then the state of South Dakota is like. And I told him, you know, Mike Miller's not too far from there. He grew up in Mitchell, which is only 60 miles to the west. He said, really? So those are the kinds of things that he's interested in and some of those things. And I saw him in a shoot-around this morning, and just a pure shooter, and giving him the opportunity to, you know, stand back at the three-point line. At the NBA, he took his first delivery of a pass, you know, catch and shoot, and it goes in. And that's the thing that the Heat want him to do at this point in his career. And I think Duncan Robinson, at least as far as a starting point, I think he's got a real good opportunity to make a mark in the NBA and develop into a player that can not only shoot the three, but also defend with length, being able, and he's probably has to improve his quickness too, to be able to contribute quite a bit. If you look at Yante.
Well, I'm sorry. I was just going to say on Duncan Robinson, as far as improving his quickness, that all comes with that conditioning and things like that, which I'm sure should translate over.
And then you look at Yante Mayton. He was at the the scrimmage, the exhibition that they played on Saturday. I was able to watch some of that too. And I think with Yonte, some of the speed of the game needs to acclimate himself there so that he can contribute at the NBA level. You can see that he's got an NBA body. He needs to be able to be a plus defender. And I've seen him working on his three-point shot as well. So he's been working at the top of the key. If he's open at the top of the key, I've seen him in some drills, and he's, you know, willing to put up those long distance jumpers, because that's an integral part of the NBA, and it seems like everybody has the green light anymore, or at least if they don't, they have to work their way to get on the green light list, so to speak. I saw Yonte, you know, a couple of times where the passes would come in and he wouldn't be able to quite catch in the paint. But I also saw a guy named Justin Hamilton do that same thing, and Justin Hamilton really got used to the speed of the game and really blossomed in that role. So I see the same thing for Yonte.
And Yonte probably playing mostly center in Sioux Falls.
You know, it might not be your typical center position. There's another guy who is 6'10", Rafael Putney, who is a little taller, is willing to play the pivot, but he's the kind of player who's not afraid to be out at distance and shoot as well. So that positionless basketball that I think the Heat have embraced, that also translates to the G League level. And when it comes to defending, there will probably be, maybe instead of the typical throw it into the post, there's not a lot of those guys in the G League. So you have to really work on rotations, being able to give guys in the post defensively different looks, and the same thing for Sioux Falls. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of what they can do so far to see if they'll dump it into the post a lot.
I suppose that's why a guy like Hassan Whiteside could just be such a standout in such a short stint. I want to go back to something you mentioned with Duncan Robinson. He was excited to know that Mike Miller wasn't too far away. And I always loved... I had always kind of thought that comparison was a pretty good one between Duncan Robinson and Mike Miller, especially Miami Heat Mike Miller, who they signed that same summer of that 2010 where they got LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade back, of course. And they signed him to basically be a small ball four in some respects. And so I think that's also Duncan Robinson's maybe destiny in the NBA because of his size and his length. And I just think, you know, ability to stretch the floor from that position. Is your sense, I don't know if he maybe just told you directly, but is your sense that Duncan Robinson is going to try to meet up and get with Mike Miller and maybe make that a mentor of his or anything like that?
I wouldn't. That is a good question, Wes. It's a really good potential outreach opportunity, because Mike Miller was part of the Heat organization, and there's also the ties to South Dakota. But I think Mike Miller being a part of the Memphis Tigers in the college ranks, I'm not sure how much or how close the ties will be in that particular realm, because I know that Miller and Penny Hardaway are helping lead that group and that college team, Memphis.
Right. So the Heat have mined relative unknowns like Tyler Johnson, Rodney Magruder from the G League. They've used that as a developmental ground and basically a farm system for them to bring in players who play substantial roles. You look at Tyler Johnson, gets a substantial contract. Rodney Magruder looks well on his way to do that. Is there a guy on the roster right now who you could see making a similar jump?
I look at Charles Cook, and he was a guy, he's out of Dayton, and he was with the New Orleans Pelicans last year on a two-way contract. And New Orleans is in the process of getting their own G League team put together. So he had to spend time away from the Pelicans with two different G League teams, one in Greensboro, one in Salt Lake City. And I imagine the consistency, the ability to get reps was difficult for him last year. I think with Cook, he is a plus defender. And if his offensive capabilities can turn around, that could be a guy, if not specifically for the Miami Heat, he has the skills, I believe, to translate to the NBA level, be that shooting guard that can, number one, harass and get people off their rhythm. I think if he can get to a point where he can not just shoot the ball, but also be able to dive to the basket off the dribble, that would be another way for him to contribute at the NBA level. So Charles Cook, and actually he wants to be called Charles Cook the Third. So look out for Charles for CC3 in his rise to the NBA.
Charles Cook the Third, CC3, I love it. So the Skyforce tip off their season tonight against Fort Wayne. Wasn't long ago that the Skyforce won the D-League championship. Last year, bit of a rebuilding year. Team went 25-25. What are the expectations for the team this season?
Well, even if you look at the last 2 years, the Skyforce were in places where they had the opportunity to get a playoff spot, and you had call-ups at the end of the season. Last year, Briante Weber and Larry Drew, too, were both called up, and those are the kinds of things that happen. And when you try to build a season, what you want to do, you're always one step ahead if you can play defense in the G League. So you've got Weber, who's a plus defensive player. DeAndre Liggins, a plus defensive player. And I mentioned Cook. And also, if Mayton can also come through with a defensive prowess. And I mentioned Raphael Putney, too. So those are the kinds of things you can do early in a season, and you can be miles ahead in that way. If you're playing defense well, getting hands on balls, diverting, deflecting, that can turn into instant offense where you can get into a rhythm, get an establishment of offensive success through transition, and then that kind of translate into a little bit more free-flowing offense.
Dan Peters, voice of the Skyforce. Fans can still watch the games on YouTube, is that correct? And they can watch it live, and the replays are available still on YouTube, right?
I will correct you. Replays are available on YouTube. They are on Facebook Live.
Got it. Facebook Live. I appreciate that. Really easy to watch on Facebook Live. You get the replays on YouTube. So really, I highly recommend people to check that out. We've got CC3, got, you know, Briante Weber, DeAndre Liggins, guys that the Heat fans are well aware of and familiar with. So reasons to watch there. And I fully support the Skyforce. The G League game in general is a lot of fun, because if you like college basketball, if you like kind of that atmosphere, I think the G League also provides that, as far as just every guy playing their hardest. They all have, you know, that one goal in mind of making a living out of this. So it's just a really cool thing. And we appreciate the time, Dan. Hopefully we'll have you on again pretty soon. I think there's a lot still to talk about when it comes to the Skyforce. Appreciate the time.
Anything I can provide, I'll be happy to do. Thanks, Wes.
Thanks again to Dan Peters for joining the show. That's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. As always, you can reach us by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using that hashtag AskLOHeat. Send your questions in for our mailbag that we will have for you on Monday. And of course, make sure to hit subscribe on iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, and leave us a rating or review while you're there. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time.